What is up, guys? This is week four of our identity series. My name is Chris LaRue. I'm an intern here with the College Age. We are here. I am not alone on this podcast. We have all my friends. Everyone say hi at the same time.
Hi.
Great. Well, hopefully that didn't sound super creepy. We are here talking about our week four challenges on identity. And so Josh Quadi, our College Age minister, has released six challenges that us college students could put into practice as a way of helping us come home to our true identities. And so we're going to talk about those challenges. We're going to introduce those challenges to you. And then we're going to talk about what it might look like to put these things into practice, because we know that putting things into practice, getting practical, could be scary for a lot of people. Keeping things in the abstract is super easy. Putting things into practice is not so easy.
Amen.
And so we're going to be talking about the challenges and what that looks like to put these things into practice. And so we're going to start by introducing ourselves. We want to start over here.
Yeah, my name's Alex. I'm a freshman at Ozark Christian College. My favorite ice cream is cappuccino chunky chocolate.
Oh, yum. I love that you threw that in there.
Wow. Okay. Hi, I'm Taylor Powell. I'm from Springdale, Arkansas. Rep. I go to Missouri Southern. I'm a sophomore. I'm a bio major, so pray for me. But and my favorite ice cream is chocolate chip cookie dough from the one and only Brahms.
Mm. Wow. What's up, y'all? My name's Charles. I am also a senior at Ozark Christian College. I'm a biblical communications major. I'm actually lactose intolerant, so that question is offensive to me. Sorry. So I will not answer it. But I do like cupcakes, so if any of y'all listening want to appease my broken heart, that's the way to it.
Man, you really just turned this podcast into
it's all about
something
it's all
to
about
get
me.
You a cupcake.
It's all that's, about me.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of smart.
Dude, you know, got to substitute something.
Yeah,
you know
I should do that more. That's good. Well, I'm Chris. I'm also a senior at Ozark, intern here with the College Age, along with Charles. Favorite ice cream is an ice cream no one really knows. It's from Omaha, Nebraska. No one even knows where Omaha, Nebraska is. If you threw a dart in the middle of America, you'd be really close. Ted and Wally's, it's a super buttery ice cream. If you folks in Omaha are listening, shout out. So good.
I'm Lindley. I am a redshirt sophomore at Missouri Southern. I'm a physical education major, and I'm super excited to get this rolling.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, well, we are going to start with challenge number one. It's find your favorite passage of scripture on identity and write it on something. Post it where you will see it throughout the day. Taylor, have you done that before? Or what do you think about when you hear that challenge?
My mind goes straight to whenever I studied the book of Hebrews a couple years ago. And I read in there how, you know, Jesus is the high priest and how he has felt what we felt in every circumstance, in every way. So the way you're feeling, you may feel really depressed. You might feel in a really dark place or a place that you don't think anyone could possibly understand where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, when I read that, that just kind of changed the game for me. I'm like, these feelings that I'm feeling that I can't express to really anyone else that I want to so badly, God understands that. He knows what that is. And he's a pathway to help me, you know, go there. And so Hebrews, that was a big one right there that I really enjoyed.
Oh, that's super good. Mm-hmm. I love that. Charles, how about you?
Yeah, dude. There is, I think it's in John or Matthew. I'm not sure which gospel it is. I'm sorry, Ozark. Ouch. I'm sorry, Quadi. But no, there's this passage in the scriptures, and it was saying how Jesus is saying that he is the vine and how we are the branches. And what that does for us is it kind of like lets us know that, like, apart from God, we don't find our identity. Mm-hmm. And if we aren't linked to him, then we are not connected to a source of life. And it's kind of a reminder that, like, we may find our identity in these different things that we can do and what people say. But, like, apart from Jesus, like, that does not mean much, because we need to be connected to the source of life to truly live.
Mm.
So that's somewhere in the Bible. Look it up.
It's good. It's there.
It's good.
I think I've heard it before.
Yeah.
I don't think you're making up Bible passages.
I hope not, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex, how about you? Has there been a scripture that's been helpful for you? And then have you ever, like, placed that around?
Or? Yeah. So one of my favorite scriptures is actually in Revelation. I believe it's chapter 2, when he kind of talks about and describes Jesus as this, when he's getting that vision of heaven.
Yeah.
It's more of just like centering myself around that. Like, that's the reality of who Jesus is.
Sure.
It's not what I think of, because it's easy to read the gospel sometimes and you get that false anticipation that he's like some hippie dude who just loves people and is super nice. But no, that's who he is. And realizing that reality brings the reality of who I am to such a bigger and more impactful meaning in my life. When it came to writing it down, I don't know. Writing down never was really my thing, but
sure.
It's actually, that's really cool. And it's, you know, definitely something I would encourage even just myself to start doing, to write that verse down and to put it somewhere where I can see it every day and have that daily reminder.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
That's good. How about you, Lindley?
Well, I don't really have a scripture that I immediately think of, but when we were at College Age a few months ago, we did the whole pick a post-it and post it somewhere or send it to a friend.
Yeah.
And I actually put mine on my fridge.
Oh.
And I see it every morning because that's one of the first things I do. I go to the fridge.
Yeah.
But my word was protected because how many times do we feel like we're not in a safe place?
Mm-hmm.
And God is our safe place, and we are protected at all times through him. So just having that little reminder every morning and usually every night, you know, girls got to eat. It's really nice, and I actually really like writing things down. I have things posted on my mirrors and my refrigerator and kind of wherever I'm going to be every single day. So it's kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. For me, it's become Psalm 139. Which David is writing, like, you guys might have heard it before. Oh, gosh, I think I'm forgetting it. This is terrible.
Uh-oh.
No, he says, you searched me, God, and you know me. Like, you're familiar with all my ways. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. And so it's like this passage that, like, when I pray it, I'm praying into the fact that, like, God knows me more than I know myself. And, like, the deepest parts of me, like, like God is very familiar with the deepest parts of me that I might be intimidated by or I might be, like, unsure of, you know? And so I think for me, when I, like, have this anxiety, like, I need to know all of me, it's like I could rest because I know that there's someone else who does know all of me. Yeah. And I came from that person, and, like, I came from God. And so it is something that is very grounding for me. And so when I feel, like, disoriented throughout my day, like, I had to actually memorize this verse for school. And so it's actually been really helpful because I get to, like, return to that psalm all the time. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, super cool. And hopefully you, wherever you're listening, like, could, you know, find a passage of scripture that means a lot to you and then place it somewhere. If it's in, like, your mirror or on your mirror or on your fridge, super great, or, like, on your ceiling or, you know, whatever.
Full Michelangelo. Is that who did that?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so. I think he's the guy that painted that.
Well, if you know that, good for you.
Yeah. So you could do a post-it note and be lame, or you could, like, paint this Renaissance painting about identity on the roof of your bedroom. That'd be great. Yeah. So next challenge, number two, is identify one key lie that you tend to believe about yourself and then find its countering truth. Recall the countering truth every time you are tempted to believe the lie. To Charles.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, you know, that is a question. That is something.
it is. It's something.
It's something, man. The crazy thing, okay, this might sound like super narcissistic, but I do not mean it to be that way in any capacity. Sometimes what I've noticed in my life is how easily I receive and translate compliments. You know, like if someone says, like, you know, Charles, you're really good at listening or speaking or, like, being present with people. That's a cool thing to hear. But, like, I notice how easy it is for me to put my identity in something that I'm good at. And I'm suddenly like, okay, I need to be this guy on the regular. And how I've seen how dangerous that is like, man, like, there are going to be days when you aren't going to be listening very well. And there are going to be days when you're just kind of a jerk to people. You know, and you have to give yourself that space and that grace to be other than what people have told you that you are, you know? So that's been something that I've been receiving and processing with. But I think that's what I'm kind of recognizing at this stage of life.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Lindley, what do you think about with that challenge?
I think it's important to, like, for me, is, I mean, I'm a little person. I'm only 5'2". And, like, a lot of times, being in athletics, like, you're told you're not good enough because of your size. And so then that translates into your everyday life, and you're like, okay, well, if I'm not good enough at sports, okay, I'm not good enough at school, I'm not good enough in my friendships or relationships or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I've really had to be like, okay, you are enough. Like, you have all of these things. It's okay to not be good at something, but like, you are enough with what you do. So don't do too much trying to overcompensate mm-hmm. for something that you don't have to. Mm-hmm. So just like recognizing that you are enough, and especially in God's eyes, that it's okay.
That's a word. Mm-hmm. That's a word.
Taylor, how about you? Is there like a lie maybe that you want to share that you believe about yourself? And then like a specific word that counters that lie that you could kind of come to throughout your day?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that I had to deal with is kind of big a part of my story from like my freshman year was loneliness. The mm-hmm. lie that I'm alone, that I'm the only one in my state. I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one who knows how I feel, and I can't share that with anyone because no one will understand. Yeah. And that's a complete lie. But after the summer, I was able to like go to counseling and figure that out and just realize, become more self-aware and figure out, mm-hmm. man, I am who God says I am. I'm made in God's image. I am all of these things and mm-hmm. more in his eyes. And just becoming more self-aware, I think, kind of counteracts that, knowing who I am in Christ. But yeah, no. And I mean, it comes up all the time too, mm-hmm. like in school when you're a bio major and you work. I mean, mm-hmm. you're always, you know, by yourself doing something. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of get trapped in that. Mm. Knowing when I'm by myself, I have to be around people and just surround myself like this, and in the mm-hmm. college age, and immerse mm-hmm. myself in people to physically, verbally talk to me and say, you're not alone, or just to be there. So loneliness is definitely the biggest lie, but just knowing that God is there and being able to resonate with the fact that I'm not alone is one of the biggest things in my life right now, too. Mm-hmm.
And actual people get to remind you of that.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
And they're great people.
Yeah. And I love that you bring that up, because it's not something that, like, you just kind of pray about and God reminds you that you're not alone. It's like God uses people to bring you back to that truth. Mm-hmm. I love that. So next challenge, number 3, still along these same lines, identify one key lie that you tend to believe about yourself, and then talk with a mentor, friend, or family member, maybe a counselor, about where that lie originated. And so, Alex, does any of that resonate with you?
Yeah. So the typical lie that that always comes up, especially when I say to myself, is just under that whole identity of me being adopted and the fact that I wasn't worth I wasn't worth my biological parents showing up for me. Mm. And I lived in that for a very, very long time. And I'll still wake up and have that thought.
Yeah.
Something that I just, was something I did was just, having conversations with my parents and having a conversation with friends. You know, that's one of the beauties of it, is the fact that, you know, I could constantly go to those places. I knew I was mm-hmm. gonna get truth. And you know, that's one of my main things. And then I've talked to, I went to a good counselor and talked to him about it, and mm-hmm. was willing just to lay off. Like, sometimes one of the best things you can do, and I find, is just, even if it means going into your car and screaming. Like, that's, I do that quite a bit. I will vent in my car or in the, and sometimes we can get into that perception that, you know, that's what you have to do. And like, you have to, like, talking to a counselor or talking to your parents, you know, sometimes it means not having conversations. It just means crying. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a bad thing. Jesus wept mm-hmm. with, and he doesn't, you know, we can get into that lie that being a Christian means that we're constantly happy all the time mm-hmm. and that we're not allowed mm-hmm. to feel. But it's mm-hmm. like, if you look at Jesus's ministry, he was weeping and he was, you know, he had the feels with everyone. So just even encouraging yourself to be like, it's, you know, it's okay to cry and scream and, mm-hmm. and to have those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's good. How about you, Charles? Is there anyone that you kind of talk to about this kind of stuff?
I don't know, man. I think a lot of my affirmed truth comes from my community.
Yeah.
You know, there's like lots of moments when, you know, I'll just go up to my friends like, guys, like, I feel like I'm kind of alone, and mm-hmm. I feel like really frustrated, and I don't even know if like these emotions that I'm feeling like are credible, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. and part of the beauty of your community is just like sometimes that's affirming, like, hey, like, it's okay to feel these things, and that's all right. And then sometimes just like, I hear what you're saying, but that thought is trash, because this is the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you are loved and you're valued, and you're also growing. So it's okay to not be perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that takes, we're not going to reach perfection, but mm-hmm. inching towards Jesus in that pursuit takes time, and it's okay to mess up, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And you are not your failures as you chase Jesus, mm-hmm. you know? And there's room for your falling and room for
grace and all that, you know? So. That's also good. Yeah, and I love how both of you guys are talking about community counseling. I think we kind of need to like destigmatize counseling as like this, oh, you're going to counseling. It's like, no, like, yeah. No matter who's listening to this, I think we should all go to counseling, because we lived in a messed up world and we're all been wounded. And like, so I just appreciate that you're even sharing that, Alex, because like sometimes people could be like, oh, that guy's got deep issues. It's like, well, maybe, but you do too. Yeah. And you should probably talk about those things with somebody, you know, like, let's stop shaming people for wanting to work through their stuff.
Yeah, and it's okay to have issues too. Like, it's all right, man. We're all trying to grow.
Yeah. So. I love that. So number four, this is getting a little bit more challenging, I think. It says, take a break from the things that feed into the lies you believe about yourself for one day. So Taylor, I see you nodding over there. What are the things that you think feed into that those lies you believe about yourself, and what would it look like for you to take a break from them for a day?
Oh boy. Social media is the top of the list. Cause whenever you're on Instagram, you tell yourself, you know, don't compare anything. But then you see, you know, it's only the surface that you see, but you still see it. And it immediately goes to your head like, oh, those people are going somewhere on a weekend, or you get like FOMO, you're like, these people are living this way. And even if you like listen to a podcast, it's like an awesome Christian podcast, like The Porch. And you're like, these people are like on the dot, they're doing great things. Yeah. And then you're just like, I'm here sitting on my phone like and then that kind of feeds into your loneliness, because you're like, well, then I'm mm-hmm. and then you just kind of center in on yourself, and you're like, oh boy, I need to get out of this hole, because eventually I think that's one thing that I've learned, and especially as a Christian, you just have to realize, get the self-discipline to drag yourself out of that, because once you're there, and you know, like, you go there, it's awful, it sucks, mm-hmm. but then, you know, you take the hand of Jesus and you get out of there, and if you go back, you're like, I know what that's like, I don't want to go there again. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, and also God can use that too, saying, you've been in that dark place, someone else might be going in there or is there, mm-hmm. and you can be the rope for them. And so that kind of like, I think that went along with what we were talking about.
No, yeah, but this all right, this is great.
But just taking a break from social media. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that if you've put everything into it, it can go haywire.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Yeah. Have you ever taken a break from Instagram for a day or a period of time?
Oh, yeah.
What was
like?
Was that difficult?
I mean, it is, because you're like, oh, who's going to DM me?
Yeah, it's right, like, right. Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to miss one of the, what is it, those that you... those contests where you like tag someone and we'll draw your name.
Oh, the giveaways.
The one that you never win, but all your friends tag you in. And you're like, oh my gosh, I can't stand this anymore.
Yeah.
But just taking a break from that. But then I think after a couple of days, you realize, my mind is clear. Mm-hmm. What is this? I can think. And you're not looking at what everyone else is doing. You're focusing on what you're doing. You're getting stuff done.
Yep.
And it's refreshing to know I don't have to be kept up with what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm focusing on me, and that is a huge, huge thing for you. And then after focusing on you, you go to your community, and then they pour into you instead of these surface level truths you see about people pouring into you.
Yeah,
so
that's so good. And the world before social media like didn't have a way of knowing what their friend in Pennsylvania was up to.
Yeah,
you know. And so this is a new challenge for our generation, like one of the first generations to grow up with it.
I think it's a scary one, and it's a big one.
Yeah,
but. Because of big and scary, it is how much it's going to challenge us.
Yeah,
to grow.
Yeah.
So and I think
challenge
that's
is to know how to take breaks from it in order to engage it in a good way. Because there are some good things.
Like, yeah,
I get to call my mom, who's halfway across the country, and like know what she's up to, and know what she was angry about with the kids because she posted about it on Facebook. And that's a cool thing, you know. But like we have to engage it healthy. Sometimes we need to take breaks from it, you know.
And I think it's very important that, like Taylor mentioned, it's okay to take that you time.
Mm-hmm.
because that you time helps you give back into your community. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just, mm-hmm. it's not a fact of being selfish. It's about yes. pouring something else into you
yeah.
to give something to someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge. Like, I mean, I've been taking a break from social media and I love it. I can talk to my friends and have intentional conversations instead of being like, oh, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know I'm not engaged, where I can be like, hey, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? What's new? Mm-hmm. What's hard? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? Like, what do you need from mm-hmm. me? What do you need from someone else that maybe I could help you get that help or mm-hmm. whatever? And have more intentional relationships with all my friends instead of just being like, oh yeah, I saw your picture on Instagram. I liked it. That's as friendly as we get.
Yeah.
So having those deeper intentional relationships is really cool.
That's good. So we're gonna move on to the number five. I think this one's pretty challenging. It's a volunteer at a homeless shelter or special needs ministry. Pursuing friendship with those not like us has a way of dismantling the lies we believe about ourselves. And so I'll repeat that one again. This one might seem like it's coming out of left field, but I'll repeat it again. Volunteer at a homeless shelter or special needs ministry. Pursuing friendship with those not like us has a way of dismantling the lies we believe about ourselves. So this challenge, I think I kind of stumbled across like how this really works is when I started volunteering at the homeless shelter here in Joplin called Watered Gardens. So once a week I would spend the night there. And my job was to like make sure like all the men there like went to bed on time and then like lock down the doors and like set the security system and then go to bed. And it was like really dark and I was all alone, so it was kind of scary. I might be scared of the dark.
Hey, it's okay.
I confess that. Yeah.
It's okay.
but the best part about it was the conversations I'd have and the friends I made there. Before everyone went to bed and then when everyone was waking up for coffee. I would just get to sit and get to know people like every week, the people that were staying there. And I think one of the lies I do believe about myself is that like I am like completely different than the people I see standing on the corner sometimes. Like I am completely different than these people who are at this homeless ministry. And I over-identify with the things that separate me from these people. So it's like, oh, I have nice clothes. I over-identify with that as part of my identity, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have an education, like, which is a good thing, but like, and that is part of who I am, but I let that like lay claim to all of who I am sometimes. And I didn't really like realize that this was part of me until I started having friends that were like homeless. And then like, there were moments where I was like, oh my gosh, like what you're saying you struggle with, like I struggle with that too. Maybe we're not so different,
yeah.
You know? And so I think if there's a view I had of my identity before, after volunteering there, I feel like it like broadened and it got bigger. And I realized like I have a common shared humanity with these people, and these things that separate me maybe don't separate me as much as I think they do, you know? So does that resonate with anybody? Was there a service trip or some kind of friend that you have that like kind of helped take you out of yourself?
I think I've been, you know, able to have this like a wide range of friendships, where like that's different people in Los Angeles, or like mm-hmm. I was working with like a small church in Carterville, and they mm-hmm. had this program called Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. That's for people who have any types of addictions, like not only drug and alcohol, but any type of addictions. They come and just like it's a place to celebrate your healing of that addiction, and also just be with people as you progress towards
mm-hmm.
that healing. You know, mm-hmm. and I was just able to sit in for a couple times and just hang out with the people there. And like, you know, they're the people that like, when you look across the street, you're like, oh shoot, like I gotta cross the other side. Cause they look, you'd assume that they like, oh man, they're up to no good or something like that.
Yeah.
Then you talk to them and it's like, wow, you guys are a little scary, but like still, they're still people.
Yeah.
And they're still willing to have conversation. Like they still breathe the same air that I breathe, and we're not as different as you'd like to believe because of what you have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like opens your eyes. Just like, if I didn't have the things that I had, what would I think about myself?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you look at other people and you're just like, oh, that person, they're homeless. They ain't got a job. They're out here being slacker. And it's just like, well, if you didn't have those things, would you still think of yourself that way?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always fair.
That's good. You know? Yeah, so. Like let's stop over-identifying with our social class or our money or
which is huge in America.
Yeah.
You know, because like we just have been blessed with wealth,
mm-hmm.
but when wealth becomes part of our identity,
it's not such a blessing anymore, huh?
Mm.
How about you, Alex? Is that resonating
yeah,
with you?
Yeah, so I got the opportunity to take a CIY trip a few years ago to Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And
that sounds fun.
It was a really fun trip. And it wasn't our goal there wasn't really to build a house, because mm-hmm. for them it's like, for like a third world country it's super helpful, but for us going in and building a house isn't helpful. Like that's mm-hmm. taking away from people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so ours was relational, mm-hmm. and we just learned. So we learned about the culture, the history, and during the nights we go hang out with the children's with their student ministry and just hang mm-hmm. out with other high school students and you know elementary students. Mm-hmm. Obviously that's not what they're called there, since different mm-hmm. culture. But kind of what something I did is I found that like though in a some way our lifestyles were generally the same, like mm-hmm. you can like there's so like you can feel like people every neighbors can hate each other. There, generally because of the terrorism and the wars and the things that have gone that have all been based upon matters of theology,
mm-hmm.
And the fact that like even like going to Belfast, which is one of our last, like they build walls between communities because one of them's Catholic. And the other neighborhood's Protestant.
Wow. Hmm.
And so, like, there's that much, like, and there's so much violence, and there'd be, like, bombs and stuff that were people bombing simply mm-hmm. over just theology.
Yeah.
And so opening my mind to the fact that, like, I'm not, you know, like, how much am I willing, you know, am I that kind of person that's willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it doesn't mean me, obviously, blowing up a bomb somewhere, but it's like, what are the things that I'm feeding into my brain, that I'm telling myself, that I'm in some way speaking, even unintentionally, to someone who has a different theology than mine, and that they're leaving, and they're just like, you know, that I'm tearing them down, that the theology's wrong, even without me realizing it, and so that was a big deal for me, just coming back and be like, shoot, like they're. Like I have apologies to make. I have conversations I mm-hmm. need to have, because, like, I've been a butt to these to these people, and you know, Jesus still loves them and wants to work with them. And mm-hmm. my theology isn't always right. And you know, coming to that realization also, because we can tend to hide.
Mm-hmm.
We hide our prejudice
mm-hmm.
in America so much, honestly, easier than in other countries. And of all kinds, obviously. Yeah. So that was a big deal for me.
Dude, Alex, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's big.
For ways that we over-identify with the ways we talk about God or the ways we practice our faith.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's okay to have your own way of doing that, but to over-identify with it to the point that you hurt other people.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that's scary. And how do we do that? And maybe less physically violent, but like verbally violent, emotionally violent ways. That's a whole other podcast. Whoa. But that's so good. Yeah. But that last one, just volunteering at a homeless shelter, special needs ministry. College Heights has a great like special needs ministry mm-hmm. here. And what's so great is that like our friends with special needs here, like they come to church with us. And College Heights isn't saying, no, you need your own service because you're different. They're saying, no, like we all are human. Mm-hmm. And we all come together and worship the same God and are made in the same God's image, you know? So that's really cool. So if you want to get plugged in with that, you totally can. Tons of volunteer opportunity there. And then, like, tons of, like, homeless shelters and really cool places to volunteer here in Joplin. But we'll move on to our last challenge here. And it's pretty simple, and we won't really talk about it. We'll just kind of leave it with you guys who are listening and watching. It's pray that God would continue to help you see yourself through his eyes. And I love this one because, like, where all these are practical things that you could do tomorrow within the next week, this one is really looking forward to just this journey of spiritual formation, of continuing to acknowledge that we're all on a journey of coming home to who we really are and who God says we are. And so we'll just end by looking out into the sunset together. that was super corny. I am sorry. Why do they have me record this?
Fate to the music.
We might edit this out. If you're listening and we didn't, then you're welcome. But guys, thanks so much for joining us. Guys, thank you so much all for being on this podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So cool. So cool. You guys, you could meet all my friends at any College Age event and or Sunday mornings here at College Heights at 11 a.m. Come through. We'd love to meet you. And thank you so much for joining us here. This Sunday night, we have our Engage event here at the church where we are going to sit around tables, like have a meal and cap off our series on identity and just talk about our favorite parts of the series, what we're learning. About ourselves and who God is and who God says we are. So we hope to see you there. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.